We've dissected a lot of it, BT, from last night. Many layers to it. An ugly performance from the Knicks overall. The turnovers, it's a sloppy play. The Pacers star players like Haliburton better than the Knicks stars, Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns. It's just a maddening team to watch. The Knicks should be better. They did not play that way last night. I don't think the series is over, but a frustrating loss in Game 4 to the Pacers.
Very frustrating. I guess some might even start to say a little predictable here because this has really been the Knicks, even though we've been on this really fun ride. And, you know, you never know what miracle happens. Knicks somehow get a couple of wins here and get to the NBA Finals, which seems unlikely now, but not completely impossible. The Knicks have really not played a very good brand of basketball in totality since the start of the playoffs here. It's absolutely amazing. Like I said to Sal yesterday, for a team that's this far and only a couple of wins away from going to play for a championship, literally, they never win at home. The plus-minus for their starting five is historically bad. They have no bench, and they're always down 20 points early. And it's a crazy story. It's a crazy year. And last night was very frustrating because last night it felt real. Like, you're like, okay, Pacers just seem to do things better.
Yeah, I still think, well, we talked about this even before the series or certainly after game one where the Pacers have the pieces fit better than the Knicks do. But the Knicks still have the stars to where I feel like they could come back. And I expect them to win game five, send it back to Indiana for a game six. Who knows what goes on there? Can I say confidently I expect them to win the game six? No, I expect them to win game five. And then it comes down to two games. Look, we've seen teams come back from down 3-1 before, especially teams with home court advantage, especially teams that are at the very least equal. You could say that you think the Pacers are better. I could say that I think the Knicks are better or more talented, and maybe I value that more so than being the team that the Pacers could be. And here's why I value the Knicks' talent more. Mm-hmm. Because if the Knicks play their best, then I don't think the Pacers could beat them regardless of what they do if the Knicks are at their best. The problem is the Knicks are far too inconsistent and very rarely play at their best. That's the issue. Whereas what the Pacers do, it's easier to be more consistent as a team. Role players thrive in their roles. Haliburton could go off. He could facilitate. Siakam could go off. They're consistent in what they do. But if the Knicks max out, Brunson goes nuts, Cat goes nuts, the guys OG and Bridges are contributing their role, then I think that they become more difficult to beat, especially against a lesser talented Pacers team. But it's just they haven't done that consistently enough.
Okay, but for me, it's pretty easy to say for about anybody outside of like the dregs of sporting society, like if they play their absolute best, if they've got a good chance to win. I mean, I could flip it and say, I think, now you might disagree, but I think if the Pacers play their best, I think they're better than the Knicks best.
Yeah, I don't.
Wow.
I don't. But I think at the very least, we could disagree. At the very least, it's close. And the 3-1 feel, it's not a Celtics fully healthy up 3-1 on the Knicks, and it's this mountain that's on a tank. You can't climb the mountain. It should be 2-2, if not for an all-time choke job. Now, the Knicks have to wear it. They lost the game. It is what it is. But the series is not played. There's not this great disparity that it may seem right now, which is why I'm not giving up hope.
Yeah.
And at some point, Brunson's got to take, I mean, he has to take over one game. Maybe that's game five. Maybe he gets it to a game six. Maybe he takes over game six, pushes it to a game seven. Game seven, all of a sudden, the pressure's all back on the Pacers, who are on the verge of choking one away, and it's at Madison Square Garden. Can they win two game sevens in a row, back-to-back years at Madison Square Garden? There's a lot there, BT. Discouraging, disappointing effort last night. I'm still not giving up hope on the series.
I love it, and neither am I. I mean, I don't think that they'll win the series, but I'll leave the door a little bit open here, and hopefully things start, you know, flying in the Knicks' favor, and we get another, you know, 10 days of this nuttiness, or a little less than that if you get to a game seven, obviously. It would be great, and then go to the finals and have a little fun. You talk about the disparity, though, right? And I know what you mean, just based on the way the games have gone, but take away that. And just put yourself back on your couch watching these games. Have they felt like they're in control at all?
No, outside of the first,
not at
first
all.
Game, no. Outside of the first game. First game, yes, I felt like they were in control. Remember, we were texting about it at halftime, and I'm like, this is great. This is what we expected the offense to be. Ball movement, penetration, kicks, spinning around, knockdown three. I love the matchup in game one. I don't know what the hell happened in those final 3 minutes of game one, and they haven't been able to recapture that since. You could say, all right, they choked it away in the final 3 minutes, but then where was that control in game two? So, no, I'm with you. It's felt more Pacers since the final 3 minutes in game one. It doesn't mean that the Knicks can't get it back for the next three games.
All right, let's go.
BT
Here we go.
Sal on the fan, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Peter is calling from Elmont. What's up, Peter?
Good morning. Is it still morning? Yeah, I promised your very courteous screener that I would try to depress Knicks fans more, if possible, and I this is my agenda. When Towns was acquired, I had two thoughts. The first being that I could hear a gasp of relief from the greater Minneapolis area. And the second thought was, why Towns? Doesn't Bob Lanier have a big fat grandson somewhere that you could go get? This is the 21st century NBA. What do you need your five to do? Your five on offense, most of the offenses are pretty much the same now. Your five needs to set a screen up top on offense, a quick roll, catch the ball efficiently. Most screen rolls don't lead to baskets anymore. You need your five to kick the ball back.
Yep.
Out a summer, but most important, your five needs to protect the rim, and go out to the arc and make those switches and be quick. This is why JaVale McGee, always could get a job because he had the feet for it. Now, does any of that sound like Karl Anthony Towns? No, it's doomed to failure. The Pacers, pretty much everybody, can get an open three anytime they want with a simple little click out there because he just does not do these things. You'd be better off with somebody who could do those, who could protect the rim, get out there and defend at the arc, and get back into the lane to protect, and gave you 10 points a game, and not this guy heaving threes, putting the ball on the floor from 20 feet away to make straight line drives. No, you're doomed. And so what happened? So you dismantled your team and you turned Brunson, who was a facilitator, marvelous facilitator, but he's not a guy who's going to get to every spot on the floor that he wants, like Morant or Edwards or Alexander in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
A facilitator. So now, what did you turn him into? A guy who has to do a mountain of scoring, and that's not.
No, but he had to do that last year, Peter. And thank you for the call, Jalen Brunson. If anything, he would be a better facilitator now with more options around him. That's not him. He's not a facilitating point guard. He's an on the ball guard that can take his man to the hoop, get to the foul line, use the angles, knock down a three. Jalen Brunson's not facilitating this offense. The offense has not been what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be an offense where you can spread it out. You have two, three, with OG being a corner three guy, Bridges can shoot it from anywhere on the floor, also create his own shot. But Karl Anthony Towns, supposed to be a big who could stretch the floor, they just have not done. I don't know what their offense is. I don't think they know what their offense is because there's no consistency to it.
And whose fault is that?
I think it's the group that they have ultimately. But yeah, I mean, it's going to fall on the head coach, of course.
You still got to push that group in a more defined direction, even if it's less than perfect, which it is, admittedly.
Okay, but then the pushback, which I understand, and that's what's going to happen eventually, just a matter of when that's going to happen. Do you think it's fair to say, well, immediately, within a year, they should have that figured out?
Oh, by the way, and I'm not shying away from that. I you know where I stand on Tom Thibodeau. If they, I would find a better coach. Yeah. I really would. But I meant more specific to this conversation here, that Tom Thibodeau, even though he's been handed a less than perfect roster, he needed to get this team in a better offensive direction, even if there wasn't one clear direction. Like, to me, we could have two conversations. One is about the way the team was built, and it's good, but it's not perfect, obviously. And we could also have the other conversation of Tom Thibodeau was good, clearly, but he hasn't done a great job of maximizing and defining the roles and getting them to mesh. And I think that if he would have done a better job with that, this is a team they probably could have found a way to get past, and probably not the next series, but nobody knows how the hell they're supposed to play.
Yeah, but think about it this way. Even with all that, they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. They had another 51-game season. They weren't a 50-win season. They weren't 100% healthy. There's a lot here. You can say, hey, they need more time to gel with Mitchell Robinson. What other piece do they want to bring in? Like, this happens a lot. It's not, hey, you have to go win the championship right now or else. You could figure it out in season, hey, we made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Here's what I think we could tweak as opposed to blowing the whole thing up. you're proactively thinking you're going to need a better head coach. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. I have no idea if it's going to be better or not without Tibbs. Maybe they find a way to gel better next season. All I'm saying is it's been one season in which they're in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Understood, but you see, this is where I think we really disagree. I don't think it's a lack of gelling. I just don't think their pieces are ever going to get better to get, like, to the point that we need them to get better to win a championship. Like, Josh Hart's not going to come back. And I love Josh. This is not just air out grievances and diss Knicks that we respect and love. And again, the series is not over. You're right. But he's not a good shooter, and he has a loose handle. Okay, that's number one. You look at Mitch, and yeah, he brings some things to the table, and we're happy that he's healthy. And when he's bouncy, he's effective, but he can't shoot a lick. He might have the least range of any big in the NBA, and he's the worst foul shooter that I've ever seen. That's right. Number two. And then you get into Jalen, who's not a good defender. Cat's not a good defender. Mm-hmm. Bridges, and these guys disappear. There's no bench. Like, there's just, I don't think it's a gel thing. It's just a composition thing.
Oh, okay, so then I agree with that. Then why are we blaming the head coach?
Because I think the coach could have done a better job of squeezing more out of this team. Because I think he could have, even if you have to force an identity, I think it's going to make you
pick
more
a lane.
Yeah. It's like you're in the middle of the highway. Do I want to pass people or do I want to go slow?
They're swerving in and out.
Yeah, exactly.
Pick a lane, put the pedal to the metal.
Well,
let's
said.
Go, win or lose.
Yep.
Mickey's in Walcott, Connecticut. What's up, Mickey?
Hey, guys. I love the conversation so far today. I mean, everything from the possibility of a different coach or all the blame going really on Rose, because it's really about the team he built, where, you know, our head coach is just trying to put the puzzle pieces in places that maybe they just don't fit. But for me, I think it just still goes towards our head coach and his stubbornness. And the thing is, I love him. I've always loved Tibbs ever since he was coaching the Bulls back in the days all the way till now. But my whole thing is just that this one true thing about him is just how stubborn he is. And maybe he's stubborn because we don't have the right pieces. And again, that goes back to Rose, right? But for me, it's about the starting lineup to tie it all in. And I'm really, if you look at the last few games, especially last night, and the way they were just suffocating Brunson, I think it's time to call a spade and say, listen, Brunson, you are our superstar. Absolutely. You're the man. And yes, you are point guard. But maybe we need to put you as a small forward in the starting lineup and put our backup as the point guard, so we can have that off balance and put them off their toes a little bit. Sure, let them double team you, but you're not the one bringing up the ball, you know. And honestly, Cat, I can't start Cat. It has to be Mitch. I love Cat, but if you're going to be always getting in foul trouble and committing ridiculously dumb fouls, mm-hmm. then come off the bench. Please, for the love of God.
It's a bit of a mess, Mickey, because as you talk this through, and thank you for the call, we appreciate you checking in.
Thanks, Mick.
A part of me is like, okay, well, you could have Mitch be the center, have Karl Anthony Towns be the power forward, but Karl Anthony Towns can't defend the other power forwards. But I'm thinking offensively, well, obviously, Mitch, offensively, you don't want him on the floor, but at least in the offensive set with Karl Anthony Towns at the power forward, that would play, because you could have him play on the perimeter as a power forward that can shoot the lights out from beyond the arc. Then it's a matter of how you want, okay, OG, it's small forward. I still will not have Bridges and OG. I think they're redundant. We went over all the issues. They have a two guard who can shoot. They have their best defensive center has no offensive game. Their best offensive center has no defensive game.
Yep.
Redundancy with OG and Bridges. A smaller point guard with Jalen Brunson who can't defend. Like, there's a lot of flaws on this team that I don't think are easily adjusted or easily fixed, even with an addition or two to the bench or to the starting lineup.
I could probably, and this might be a little frustration. I'm gonna air a gripe here with Tom Thibodeau. So, I mean, I'll stop short of promising you this, but I would almost guarantee if Tyler Kolek was on the Indiana Pacers or the Boston Celtics, he'd be getting run. And I'm not saying he's a star. I'm not saying that at all. His game fits the modern NBA so well, and Tom Thibodeau never even gave him a chance. He is a passer. He could shoot a little bit. He's like a, he's not a blur, but he's like a herky-jerky. Like, he's just a tempo guy. And I, you know, whether, you know, Kolek somewhere else in a couple of years or the Knicks have a new coach, I guarantee, almost guarantee, at some point soon, we're going to look back and say, why didn't they use this kid last year? Like, that's one of the things I think is going to resurface as an easy criticism. And then you look at this down the road, like, Karl Anthony Towns is making $53 million next year, $57 the year after that, $61 the year after that. Not to mention OG's 40, 42, 45 in three straight years. Jalen, thank God he's a saint. He's taking peanuts, 34, 37, 40. You got to make a decision on Bridges, who's making 25 next year, and then it's up. Like, you got Josh Hart making 20 for the next couple of years. Like, what are they going to do to fix this?
With all that being said, they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, I get what you're saying, trying to build a championship, but there's a lot of different things that they can do. Ultimately, if they're stuck with Towns and Brunson, that's what I was saying months ago, back to the beginning of the postseason, I don't think they're going to fall short because of the head coach or because of this or because of that. It's going to be because the star players aren't good enough star players. I really believe that that's the fundamental issue here. You can take it a step further and say that you think that they're good enough, but they just don't fit well together. That could be a side note to it or the point to it. For me, that's what it comes down to. They needed Brunson or Cat to take over that game yesterday. Neither could do it.
Yeah, and why couldn't they do it? Because they don't have the skill set to do it. They do in spurts, but it's just not there enough. I mean, I know we're kind of going in circles a little bit here. It's so frustrating. I don't know. I mean, over the years, Yanks haven't won a World Series since 2009, but most of the years I'm like, yeah, I don't like this roster. It's not a championship roster. But there's always ways that you can think about improving it. I think that my frustration is, I as it just laid out, I don't really know what the avenue is to improve it. It's going to have to be something radical, whether it's a big trade or a new coach, whatever. But there's no simple. This is not just, all right, hey, this group gains experience, and then incrementally next year they'll be a little bit further ahead. I don't think they take a step forward next year. I don't.
Turner down the stretch there. Of course, Reggie Miller on the call. All right. Reggie Miller and Kevin Harlan.
Getting tired of him, too.
Yeah, I know. I just don't want it. Like, I think he's been fine, but we all know what Reggie Miller is. He's a Pacer. He's rooting for the Pacers. I've had my fill of Reggie Miller, Spike Lee, the Pacers. I've had enough of them for forever. Like, I don't need to see the Pacers again. I wanted the Pacers because I wanted to beat them to get to the finals. Yeah. I'm good on the Pacers, and I'm good without Reggie Miller. All right. I'm a little annoyed here, BT, because we did our 3-hour queue before about a half hour ago, maybe a little bit over that, and we're talking about having some fun. Which old stadium would you go back in time to watch a game at? And the genesis of that question was from a tweet that Hoff texted me last night. And he sends me this, unprompted, during the Knick game, I get a text from our producer that has the Talking Baseball Twitter talking about the plans in Pelham Park in the Bronx, blah, 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 to build a scale replica of the Polo Grounds. It looks legit. I see a producer texted to us. I don't think much of it. I bring it up today. Good talking point. Turns out that is a fake account. Hoff was talking baseball, not talking baseball. Hoff,
yes.
You want to explain yourself on this one?
Well, I apologize. I'll take the L on this one. This is an account that I actually blocked a long time ago because they put out stuff that's very legitimate. Like, they put out in this tweet that MLB PR has said that they're doing it.
So how does it come into your bleeping timeline to begin with?
It didn't. People started texting it to me.
So people were sending it to anybody that works here or no?
No. Nobody here. So many people started texting it to me, and I read it. It looked Talking Baseball. I saw MLB PR, and I just forwarded it to you. I was like, that's awesome. We started talking about it in my house. My kid gets excited. He's like, the Polo Grounds? I can't wait to go. This is Anthony. He's excited about this. So we're all getting excited about it.
He's going to have fun when they start building it.
Yeah, in 1955.
Exactly. Sometimes I ignore some of the stuff that he sends, whatever. This one I wrote back, I love it. I couldn't wait to talk about it with you.
Yeah. All right, a couple things here. So you said other people sent you text. I'm going to guess it's people not in the business because it's not too far from where you live. So it was very much a civic source of pride. And it was probably flown around the neighborhood, right?
No. It was my brother-in-law. He's just a baseball fan.
All right, your brother-in-law. All right, that's number one. So let's just ball meet sack. We got ball sacked here.
Yeah.
But I will say, I fell for it too, independent of him.
So you saw it?
Yeah, and I didn't bring it to the air just because I kind of forgot it was Big Knicks Day. No. I saw this yesterday. I'm like, ooh.
Right.
And to the point, I actually went down and did research and got the dimensions of the Polo Grounds.
Okay.
Because I wanted to talk to you about this. You know, left field 279, dead center 483, left center gap 450. So I was feeling skeptical. Now, I was a little, not skeptical, but you heard me say this when we were talking about it. I'm like, were they going to build it for one event? Like, it seemed confusing.
Right.
But I didn't give it too much thought. I believed it. We got to play.
You gave it more thought than I did because, like, how's this going to make sense? And I'm just like, oh, my God, this is the greatest thing ever. I can go honor, like, my grandfather and go watch this stuff. Now, I'm mad at myself because, again, I'm trusting our producer, Hoff, in this spot. Do I have to take some of the responsibility for just blindly trusting his tweet or his text to
me? Has it happened before?
It has happened before.
Well, then you got to take responsibility.
Hoff, we've been down this road before. I don't recall the exact example, but there have been things where you send me some questionable stuff that you see on social media. And the J.J. McCarthy one was one thing. That wasn't a ball sack sports. That was a he saw it and interpreted it like J.J. McCarthy is going to be the starter when it was not, in fact, announced that he was going to be the starter.
But I'm right anyway with that.
You turned out, to be right. But you have to understand your place here.
Oh, I understand.
You're the last line of defense before it gets on the air.
That's not true. You are the last line of defense.
No, wow.
The fuck comes out of your mouth.
No, Dove. Then what are you guys doing here? I'm sorry. Like you have to help us out. I would not have seen that if not for Hoff, who is producing the show. Is it wrong of me to trust our producer? Like, I'm talking about the last line of defense before all that nonsense that's on social media that gets to us. That's got to be on you guys.
Yes, but to be fair, how often am I wrong? Not often.
Once is too many, and it's been multiple times.
Oh, wait a second. Before you go and kill me, has the first person who has never gotten anything wrong on the station, please speak up right now.
No, I get that, but there are different varieties of getting something wrong. Factual or incorrect information, that's where, you know.
Has no one been ball sacked before on this station?
It doesn't matter. It can't happen.
It happens all the time.
So to Doe's point, then I am just supposed to be, BT and I are supposed to be the final vet of like everything and be like, every information that we get from Hoff, we're just supposed to vet it and not.
Yeah, Doe, that's a pretty strong response.
Hoff's job is to bring to your attention things you may not have seen.
Yes.
After you hear about it, then you say, hey, let me look into it. Let me see if it's true. Let me see more details about it.
Well, I guess I learned my lesson here.
And what is your role, Dovey? Just since we're going through roles here.
To tell you whose role it is.
Exactly.
Oh,
God almighty.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the Knicks. So there won't
Are we sure there's callers here?
Is Greg. Greg, are you in fact calling from Mayapack?
Are you a person, Greg?
Yes.
What's up, Greg?
Hey.
You guys are a piece of work, I'll tell you. You know,
what a circus.
Let Hoff know I got flashbacks. I used to hang out in Pelham Bay Park years ago. Some stuff we could talk about on the radio or other stuff. That's another story. But let me tell you, regarding the Knicks, they can't even inbound the friggin' ball. I mean, that's a struggle.
It's true. You're not wrong. I pointed that out. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I mean, listen, the Knicks on paper, the starting five is more talented than Indiana. But when you watch Indiana execute, it's not even. Listen, guys, I mean, if the Knicks win the next three, I'll tell you. You talk about miracle. But Tibbs is a good coach, but he ain't a great coach.
Yep.
And that's the bottom line. But we got to be careful here, guys, because if we kick Tibbs, if Tibbs loses the job, who the hell are you bringing in? I mean, we've been winning 50 games a year. We're only three games from the friggin' finals. You got to be careful here. You got to go easy. I mean, you can't really just kick Tibbs out unless you got a real good plan.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only reason why BT I'd be, again, I wouldn't be okay with it because I think fundamentally it would be the wrong move now or, you know, this offseason as far as moving on from Tibbs. The only thing that would maybe expedite the thought process is the fact that Malone is out there. If there weren't a known commodity with ties here who won a championship before,
yep,
then even more so I feel comfortable, hey, let's see what Tibbs can do next year. And if it doesn't work out middle of next year, you make the decision to make a change then.
Yeah, and for those who don't know, the local ties with Malone, his dad coached the Knicks as an assistant. He went to Seton Hall Prep. I believe he was born and partially raised, at least partially, in Queens. He's a New York guy. Now, the other thing, and a New Jersey guy, the thing is that he did go through a mess with Denver. I mean, you win a championship and then you get fired a week or two before the playoffs start. I'd like to probe a little more deeply into what went awry there to make sure that there's not other issues maybe that he's bringing to the table. But, I mean, I think you got to be open to everything.
Well, if it's not him, then why would you see? And that's why the grass is always greener. Like, yeah, get rid of Tibbs. It's going to be that. Well, who's the next guy?
Well,
all these guys have been retreads and circled in different spots.
I agree.
Nurse,
I'm not bringing Nick Nurse.
Well, I'm just saying, like, a guy won a championship before, and then he goes multiple stops. Like,
like Vogel bounced around it with the championship. I would, you know, and I've said this before. I don't think that they would necessarily do business with us. You know, Pat Riley and the Knicks. Yeah, I would try to have a conversation about trading for Spoelstra. I've said that. You know, I wouldn't go Jay Wright. You know, I think Jay's great. I think some people get a little bit too wrapped up in the Nova stuff. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do that. And I don't know that they would. But no, to me, it's Malone or, you know, maybe somebody else that I'm just not thinking about. But I'm not just getting rid of him to get rid of him. Like, he's not that much of a deterrent at all. He's much more of an asset than he is a deterrent. I want to be clear about Tom Thibodeau, how I truly view him. But it's about the next step in, like, will he evolve enough, in my opinion, to elevate the team? And my answer is no.
Rob is in Morristown. What's up, Rob?
How you doing, guys?
What's up, Robbie?
I have been a Knick fan for ever and ever, and this is the first time I'm actually calling into the fan. And for me to call in and be motivated enough to call in, it says a lot. I love this team. And I feel like I think they've taken it as far as they possibly can. And of course, I'm thinking about next year. And the guy that I'm looking at is Giannis. I mean, he wants to come here. He's made it clear. And I think the team is as is constructed has probably gone as far as it can. So I'm thinking, Cat, Bridges, a one. For Giannis, I'd do that all day long, and maybe that's the beginning of a deal that we can work out.
We'll get there, Rob. I'm not trying to, you know, say that's not a good thought because I brought it up as well, but we can't fixate that on yet. The series, it's not over yet. The coffin is not sealed shut yet.
That's what the summer's for. We don't know if that's realistic or not. Let's see. The Knicks could go on a run. Like, this is not, again, when I say I have hope, it doesn't mean that I have blind faith or blind hope as a Knicks fan in this series. I really do believe the Knicks can still come back and win this series. Two of the three games are at home. That hasn't meant much. It's going to have to mean something here. I don't think the Pacers are that much better than them. As a matter of fact, I still think the Knicks have more talent than the Pacers do. You could say the Pacers have played a cleaner series. Their pieces fit better. They execute better. Yes, but ultimately, in the NBA, talent can prevail, and the Knicks have more of that. So I believe it still is possible. If there's any scenario where a team is likely to come back from 3-1, it's this. Having home court for the final, you know, two out of the three games and going up against a team that you were favored to beat coming into the series. So it really should be 2-2, if not for an all-time choke job. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but I do think the formula is there.
I don't think it's there as much, only because I think it's easy to forget. Like, it's not like they rolled past the Pistons. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I know they literally are at the Eastern Conference Finals, and it's good. It's been a fun run, and hopefully it keeps going. But as other teams get better in the East with some more experience, the Orlando Magic, the Pistons, I think that a first-round loss is as doable with their defensive deficiencies as a deep run is. I think it's easy to get fooled by the run. It was not easy against Detroit.
Going back to game 5 against Detroit, after they lost that game, I came on and said it really doesn't matter what happens from here on out because I just don't trust this team. Uh-huh. Even if they beat Detroit in 6, great. They should have put them away. A sign of a champion would have been to put away the lesser Pistons in 5.
Yeah.
They didn't do it. Then we're getting blown out in both games, 1 and game 2 against the Celtics. They come back and win those games miraculously. Like, there was a lot to, you know, kind of a house of cards type thing so far in the postseason. And now you're seeing it fall apart. I still believe, so logically I could understand why you'd say the series is over. It's, you know, whether it's game 5 or game 6. But I just don't believe the Pacers are that good that this is insurmountable for a team that has as much talent as the Knicks have.
I wonder how we'd feel if Carlisle was coaching this team and Thibodeau was on the other side. Like, I just wonder what they would look like. I can't prove this. I feel like the Pacers' offense wouldn't look as good and free-flowing and as sharp, and I feel like the Knicks' offense would look totally different.
Yeah, and I also wonder, though, what goes into the team building? Is Carlisle working in unison with his GM saying, this is what I want
Good question.
And need?
Good question.
And we know Rose and Tibbs, but, like, did Tibbs really go to Rose and say, this is what I need, get me Carl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges?
Well, he had to run the cat stuff by him because he coached him. And ran it got a little sour there. Like, I would, and I would say a little bit more than, hey, Tom, just give you a heads up, we're going to get Carl Anthony. I think it was more along the lines of, what do you think? I really believe that he showed him that respect, and he should have. I mean, Tom Thibodeau coached him.
Me too, but I don't know if Tibbs went seeking Cat.
No, I don't think he did.
And not just Cat personally, but like that being the missing piece, that type of player, or Bridges. I think it's more Leon Rose in unison with Tibbs and going over how they would try to make it work, but clearly it just has not worked or clicked or whatever you want to use in the first year where it's been a mishmash. I don't know what their offensive plan is. So to your point, I do feel like at least with Carlisle, you're watching a team that has a clear direction and plan.
Yep. By the way, Knicks, what do you think they were to win the series here? Just looked it up.
They got to be plus 300, 400?
Plus 190.
What?
Kind of low. Saying there's a chance. Those odds are not as high as I thought.
I would not bet it at that because you're not getting good value.
I'm not saying I don't love the value either, right. But what are they telling us there? That it wouldn't be nuts if the Knicks messed around, came back, and won the series?
That's in line with my gut feel. I wonder how much of that has to do with home court or just that they think these two teams are evenly matched, and who's to say that the Knicks couldn't rattle off three in a row?
Well, if it was based on home court, they should be plus 570 at this point. Right. They ain't winning there.
That's exactly right. Hoff saying they're minus 200 game five, and you said it was what, minus 4.5?
Minus 4.5, yeah.
I mean, pretty big favorites, or favorites at least. Minus 200 straight up is pretty decent to
win. Yeah, you're laying a couple of hundred to win one. I get it.
Got the ticket forwarded to me. Still have not sent the money the other way yet. Mm-hmm. You think I should do that or no?
Well, he was doing you a favor. This is your buddy. Well, he offered to take me. I mean, no, I think if he offered you, I think that that's a gesture that he meant. Obviously, he's got a few extra bucks to do it.
Yeah.
You guys are tight. It's not like it's some sort of imposition or it's somebody you don't know. Like Lou Gee going to sit with Carey. No, I mean, this is your boy. So I'm sure it's, you know, I'm sure over the years there's been reciprocation. Like you've done things for him.
Yeah.
Just take it.
All right.
Let's go.
I still feel like I can't let that part of me. I know.
Why?
That's why I'm asking you for advice on that.
You know, I'm not cheap with that stuff. I would tell you if I thought it was like, dude, you kind of hands out a little bit too much. No. You going with your boy? You guys are really good friends, right?
Yes.
Really good friends. And
be with him next weekend at the Belmont.
Oh, that's right. So he's up in Saratoga.
Yeah.
I know he comes and spends time with you guys as well.
Saratoga, we'll see. They'll be down here end of June.
And now how long will they stay at the house?
I think our plan right now, it still depends. Well, we're waiting to see what's going on with the finals as far as the trip goes up there. Because if the Knicks are in the finals, game one would be Thursday night. My plan is to leave after our show Thursday night, get there, hang out Friday in Saratoga, and then the Belmont is Saturday. So I'm waiting on the finals.
Okay.
And then end of June, the plan is, we still got to go over our days off here or whatever for the summer.
Yeah, I got to start taking some. Yeah, my goodness gracious.
The plan is to have them come in for a night or two, hang out, and then go down to the Jersey Shore for a couple of days. They want to experience the shore, which we've never done. You've been to Cape May?
Yeah, I've been to Cape May. Cape May's great.
Okay,
love
that's
Cape
the spot
May.
That everybody keeps. The only issue is that they're coming from Saratoga, so it's 2.5 drive down. Then another 2 hours down. It's up to them if they want to do that.
That's a hike. It's funny, though, when you have people that you really want to spend the night, you don't mind how long they stay.
Yeah.
And then when there's other people, it's like, all right, when is this moving on here?
Max, yeah. No, luckily, everybody
gets along.
Yeah.
Wife's good.
Wife is great with them. They're great with Sammy.
Well, that's the key right there.
They're good with Maddox, even.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, take the tickets, dude. Enough questions.
All right, so give him some surf sides, take him out to Rails, and we're even.
Does he play golf? I may have asked you this before. I mean, not enough golf where it really matters. A Rails dinner? Yeah.
Rails.
Yeah.
A little Rails, some surf sides.
He doesn't have to know that, you know, Rails is
we've gone there before.
I know. He doesn't have to know that Frank takes care of us.
Well, I mean,
you have to tell him that.
PT and Sal, all the fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Dan is calling from Jersey City. What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's up, gents? Good afternoon.
What's going
if
on,
you
buddy?
Indulge me. I have a couple of Knicks points.
Okay.
And that's Rails in Morristown?
It's in Tawako.
Oh, all right. I was going to say, I think there's a Rails in Morristown.
Yeah, it is. Morris County, right?
Morristown. Morristown. Yeah. No, it's right there.
So my question, my first point is feeding to what you guys are just talking about. Why trade for Cat when Tibbs and Cat didn't have the greatest relationship in Minnesota? was it just a move to get rid of Vandal and not have to deal with a contract negotiation with him coming up?
I don't think so. I think that's a good example of where things are presented to us and it might not necessarily reflect what truly was going on. It's easy to say from our seats, 1,500 miles away, whatever the heck it is to Minneapolis, they didn't get along, it didn't work, it failed, they can't coexist, blah, blah, blah. I'd have to think, unless Leon Rose is horrendous at his job, which we all know he clearly is not, it's the opposite pretty much, he's really good, that he would have to examine this from every conceivable angle, from a basketball perspective, and they may have misread that, I think they did, but also from an ability to coexist with somebody, just a personality clash or no clashes. They examined this through every lens, and they thought it was the right move, and it doesn't look like it's going
to
be.
Or they thought it was their best option. Doesn't necessarily have to be that they sought out Karl Anthony Towns. Remember, a lot of the talking point here before that was, who the hell is going to take on Randall's contract? How are they going to move Julius Randle? And did you ever think? I did not think that they were going to be able to get a star like Karl Anthony Towns for Julius Randle. Remember, there was talk about maybe, was it Sabonis year before from Sacramento, that maybe they were thinking about trading Randle there to the Kings, which I would have loved. That was a couple years ago. Traded for Sabonis. That was maybe more of the level of trade. The Knicks traded Julius Randle, who, yes, was a terrific player, but he's not the prowess that Karl Anthony Towns has been proven to be in the course of his career. So I don't know if it was that they saw, I don't know this, I'm just thinking out loud. Did they seek out Karl Anthony Towns, or was he somebody that was available that happened to be willing to, the T-Wolves were willing to move him for Julius Randle?
I think it's probably a little bit of everything. I think there's a complexity there because Randall's not a star, not a superstar, and Kat's not a superstar, both a little flawed with certain things. So it was never going to be perfect, I don't think, for either team. But let me ask you, this doesn't change anything now. Tomorrow night, you feel better if Randall's running out of the tunnel or Kat's running out of the tunnel? I'll take Randall.
Yeah, well, I mean, ideally, I feel better about Kat being a better scorer. But because of the way he's being used, or because of the way the Knicks offense has looked, I'd rather have taken my chances with the team from a year ago. See, we never got to see that team max out. I know Hartenstein wasn't going to be back no matter what because you wouldn't have seen him.
Mm-hmm.
But at their peak last year, after the Anunoby trade,
yeah,
at their peak, they were better than anything we've seen this iteration of the Knicks. Now, it was what, a 13-game stretch?
Weren't they like 15-2? Like,
they were the best
team.
They were the best team in the NBA for an extended stretch.
Nope.
Like, the best team. It wasn't, yeah, but, nah, that team. It was, they were, after they made the trade for Anunoby, Brunson, Randall, Anunoby together with the ancillary pieces.
Sure.
Were playing like the best team in the NBA for an extended period. Then Randall got hurt, and they never recovered from that, which is understandable.
Mm-hmm.
But then the question became, okay, is it worth the risk to bring back Randall and try it again? While there were question marks to begin with him anyway in the postseason, which I thought were unfair because it was due to circumstance, whether he didn't have any pieces around him, whether he was banged up the year that they lost to Miami, the year before that with the Hawks, they had nobody around him. Would you go back with that iteration or fire your shot now and go get more star power? They chose the latter.
I always really respected Randall. I was okay with moving on from him. All right, so I can't change what I said back then. I was okay with, exploring a different avenue here. Now, the thing that frustrated me with Julius was, pound some bad shots. But
you're saying the same thing about Randall and Brunson playing together, too.
Yeah, that's true. But what I've seen from Karl Anthony Towns now every night, I'd rather have Randall.
Yeah.
Now that I've seen him every night.
I know, but if they just use Kat, the way they're using Kat, yes, I agree with that. Because at least with Randall, you knew what you were getting. With Kat, I have no idea what you're getting from night to night.
Okay, but
I want him on the perimeter knocking down threes.
Yeah, but he's not Trent Tucker.
He's their best three-point shooter.
He's very good at that. But I think that, I think Karl Anthony Towns, if he was playing that role, we would be so frustrated. I don't think that there's any way to deploy him offensively that would satisfy us enough based on his lack of athleticism and his defensive deficiencies. We might be slightly better off. Oh, wow, look at this. They're setting up these open threes for him. But I think with him, I think no matter where he is, no matter who's rooting for him, what fan base, I think there's always going to be an element of frustration because he's never going to give you what you think you should get from somebody that looks like that.